Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're embarking on an analysis that sits right at the intersection of, well, big finance, central bank policy, and some really cutting-edge machine learning. It's this high-stakes world where, you know, multi-trillion dollar decisions can hinge not just on the numbers, but on interpreting text, that subtle shift in a forecast, or the sentiment hidden deep inside an earnings report. And for decades, the industry has relied on tools for this that were, frankly, surprisingly basic. Okay, let's unpack this. We have a crucial paper that really aims to fundamentally reset how we evaluate natural language processing in this critical domain. It sets up a new standard, a systematic test of every tool in the toolbox, from simple word counts all the way to advanced transformers. The paper is titled "EcoFin Bench, a Natural Language Processing Benchmark for Economics and Finance." And the authors who put this all together are Max Ahrens, Dragos Gorduza, and Michael McMahon.
And what's fascinating here, right from the abstract, is the sheer ambition. The authors introduce EcoFin Bench as a benchmark suite that's explicitly designed to test a massive range of NLP models. We're talking dictionary, word count, topic models, and of course, modern transformers. And they test them across these very domain-specific sentence classification data sets.
So what was the core mission then, just to see which one is best?
It was really about visibility. They acknowledge that economics and finance as domains, they present these unique challenges you just don't see in general NLP. Specifically, you're often dealing with data sets that have, you know, relatively few data points, but the documents themselves are just incredibly long.
And their early findings give us a bit of a sneak peek, right?
They do. They immediately flag that the traditional workhorses, and these are the dictionary models that so many researchers still default to, they underperform substantially. I mean, across the board.
Which implies the default tool is basically obsolete.
It's functionally obsolete, yes. And the findings also point to this huge gap in performance when data gets multimodal, you know, text paired with numeric data. The current state-of-the-art models just aren't equipped to handle that complexity well.
Okay, so let's take a step back. Why was the field relying on these simpler tools for so long? Why do we need a holistic benchmark right now?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it really comes down to inertia and convenience. For a long, long time, simple dictionary models, the classic example being the Loughran and McDonald 2011 dictionary, LM Dictor, they were the standard.
The workhorse.
The workhorse model, exactly. They're simple, they're fast, they're easy to interpret. But then deep learning models like Transformers BERT and specialized versions like FinBERT, they entered the domain. And as some previous work pointed out, there was this massive vacuum. There was no single benchmark that systematically compared all of these different model classes against each other on truly domain-specific, policy-relevant data.
So this paper steps right into that gap.
It fills that gap. It gives practitioners and researchers the visibility they need to see which models actually perform best under very specific conditions.
And to make that comparison meaningful, they obviously needed a really rigorous and diverse set of inputs. So tell us about the data they used. They had four key data sets, right? And two of them were brand new.
That's right. And the data selection is absolutely key here because, like we said, economic texts are just different, small sample sizes. But these gargantuan documents, they started with two existing shorter sequence data sets. First, the Financial Phrase Bank, or FPB. This is about classifying sentiment positive, negative, neutral from short sentences from financial news. About 2,200 entries total.
Okay. Pretty standard.
Very standard. And second, the Twitter Financial News, TFN, which classifies tweets as bearish, bullish, or neutral, a bit bigger, about 12,000 entries. So these represent the classic short-form sentiment analysis tasks.
And then they move into the heavy stuff, the real policy documents, which bring in all that complexity of length and context.
Precisely. The first new data set is the FOMC Blue Book Alternatives, or FBA. This involves classifying internal text alternatives, so draft proposals, that were prepared for the Federal Open Market Committee meeting.
And the goal is to classify them based on what the Fed actually did.
Yes, based on whether the resulting federal funds rate decision was a decrease, unchanged, or an increase.
Wow. So predict the Fed based on their internal memos. That sounds tough enough. But what about the text length you mentioned?
This is where things get wild. The FBA dataset has documents with a mean length of 2,716 words, and the maximum length can go up to almost 6,000 words.
So you're basically reading a mini thesis for every single data point.
Exactly. But the truly novel, and I think the most difficult addition, is the second new dataset, the FOMC Green Book CPI Forecasts, FGC. This is the multimodal task.
Multimodal meaning text plus numbers.
Text plus numbers. It contains text paragraphs from the Green Book about inflation, and the task is to predict the one quarter ahead CPI forecast direction. It's a tiny data set, only 144 entries, but the documents are astronomical.
How big are we talking?
They average nearly 4,000 words, with a maximum length of over 13,000 words.
13,000. A standard model would have to throw out, what, 90% of the document?
At least. And that Green Book context is so critical because of that multimodal angle. Mm. You know, a 2% inflation forecast is meaningless unless you know the current conditions. Are we in deflation? Are we in hyperinflation? The text alone can't tell you the whole story.
Right. So the models have to look at both the text and other data.
Exactly. The Green Book dataset requires models to jointly assess the text and the numeric data. That includes the previous meeting's CPI, GDP, and unemployment forecasts. Without fusing that text with those hard numbers, the model is flying completely blind.
Okay, so we have the datasets defined. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. The models, they pitted against each other. They compared four main families of competitors, right?
They did. It's designed to represent sort of the full history and future of NLP and finance. Let's start with the traditionalists, the dictionary models using LMDICT. They tested three variations. The LMDICT naive is super simple, just raw positive and negative word counts against some fixed thresholds.
So very basic.
Very basic. Then there's LMDICTLIN, which steps it up a bit. It takes seven word list features plus three other features, word count, digit count, number count, and feeds all that into a logistic regression.
So it's a simple count, but with a flexible linear model that can learn the weights.
Exactly. And then LMDICT Nonlin takes those exact same features, but feeds them into a whole model zoo of nonlinear methods using something called autogluon.
So that really tests if the features themselves are the problem.
That's the idea. Is it the features or how you use them? Then moving on, the next family was word count models. These extracted raw word counts, scaled them by the crucial TF-IDF score, which, you know, weights words by how unique they are, and use those as features.
TF-IDF is such a classic. It helps you focus on a word like recession instead of the.
A perfect way to put it. The third family they looked at was topic models, specifically LDA. These are unsupervised models that find topics in documents, and then the topic parameters get used as features for classification.
And finally, we get to a modern giants. The transformer models.
Yes, using BERT as the reference. They tested the standard BERT base, then FinBERT, which is BERT pre-trained on a financial corpus, and FlangBERT, which was pre-trained on a really diverse financial corporate SEC filings, Bloomberg, and so on.
These are the models that are supposed to be setting the industry standard.
They are. And to handle those really tough Green Book tasks, they had to engineer some multimodal extensions.
Right. How did they actually fuse tech features with, say, last quarter's GDP numbers?
They used two main approaches. First, a wrapper called Tab plus Assessa, which just takes the text features from another model, like the LMDICT features, and fuses them with the numeric data for joint prediction. And second, they built a dedicated multimodal transformer, which is a complex neural network designed to directly process and fuse the outputs from a text model, like BERT, with the tabular data all at once.
The methodological rigor here is just, it's impressive. But before we get to the results, how did they measure success? They needed a metric that could handle the messiness of real-world financial data.
A great point. They chose the macro F1 score for everything. And this is so essential. Imagine if 90% of financial statements are neutral. A model could just guess neutral every time and get 90% accuracy.
Which sounds great, but it's totally useless.
Totally useless. It failed to find the rare but vital positive and negative cases. Macro F1 solves this. It calculates the F1 score for each class separately, positive, negative, neutral, and then it averages them. This forces the model to do well even on the minority classes.
And they ran each experiment how many times?
50 times. They ran each experiment at 50 times and averaged the F1 score just to make sure the results weren't some lucky fluke from one particular data split. That gives us real confidence in what they found.
Okay, let's jump into it then. The findings. On the text-only data, FPB, TFN, and those long FBA documents who came out on top?
For the most part, it's what you'd expect. The financial transformer models just dominated the pure text-only field. FinBERT and FlangBERT were the clear winners. They were consistently hitting F1 scores in the low to mid-90s.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, FinBERT scored a 94.7 on the financial phrase bank. It just shows the huge benefit of pre-training on that specific financial language.
Okay, that's the expectation. But here's the curveball, what the paper calls finding two. You said simple models still did surprisingly well in the long documents, like the Blue Book.
That was the big aha moment. The relatively simple word count models, specifically the non-linear version, performed surprisingly competitively. On that extremely long FBA Blue Book dataset, the word count model actually performed on par with the general transformer, BERT base.
Why would that be? Why would a simple word count compete with a massive model from Google?
I think our hypothesis has to be coverage. BERT is forced to truncate its input at 512 tokens. So on a 5,000-word document, it only sees the very beginning.
It's missing the vast majority of the text.
Exactly. A word count model, while much simpler, gets to analyze the entire document, regardless of length. And for these broad classification tasks, comprehensive if simple coverage can sometimes beat a highly nuanced but very truncated analysis.
That's a fantastic insight. So now let's pivot to the ultimate test, that multimodal struggle in the Greenbook CPI dataset. Did the transformers manage to overcome the length issue when they got that numeric context?
This is where we see a dramatic collapse. This is finding three. The financial transformer models struggled substantially. FinBERT and FlameBERT gave basically no advantage over the standard BERT base. All three of them were clustered around a really poor 28 to 31 F1 score.
That low of a score just confirms it. That 512 token limit is absolutely crippling.
It's crippling. With the Greenbook documents averaging almost 4,000 words, the BERT models are blind to 80 or 90% of the information. It's like trying to understand an economic collapse by only reading the first page of the SEDS memo.
And the dedicated multimodal model didn't help.
No, the multimodal transformer also performed poorly. It just shows that if your underlying text model is handicapped by truncation, no amount of sophisticated fusion is going to save it.
So who was the unlikely champion of the Green Book Challenge?
The best performing model was actually a fusion of the oldest text analysis method with modern machine learning. It was the auto-gluon ensembling model that used the classic Laufer-McDonald text features plus the numeric metadata. That's the TAB plus LMDIC Nonlin Best model.
Wow.
It achieved a much higher F1 score of 46.7. And it illustrates a crucial point. If your context is incomplete, the simplest text features, when explicitly fused with that critical numeric data, the previous CPI, the GDP numbers, can provide the context that a state-of-the-art transformer just can't see.
So let's talk about the implications for those traditional models then. Finding four. Given that a simpler model won the Green Book Challenge, does that redeem the LMDIC dictionary?
Unfortunately not. And the paper's verdict is pretty harsh on this. The Laufer-McDonald dictionary model underperforms, and I mean substantially, across all the text-only datasets.
I'll bet.
The numbers are staggering. The simplest version, LMDIC naive, underperformed FinBERT by between 34 and 76% on the text-only tasks. Even when you dress it up with nonlinear machine learning, it still lags FinBERT by 22 to 39%.
But wait, isn't LMDIC cheap, fast, easy to interpret? If I'm a researcher on a tight deadline, why shouldn't I use a tool that's mostly right, even if FinBERT is more right?
That's an essential point about the trade-off. But when we're talking about financial and policy prediction, the difference between a 60% F1 and a 90% F1 isn't just a small improvement. It's the difference between a tool that's functionally useless and one that provides reliable signals. The author's conclusion is pretty definitive. The economics and finance community really needs to move on from using these handcrafted dictionary models as their default. There are more performant alternatives that, once pre-trained, are just as easy to run.
And the topic models didn't fare much better.
No, even unsupervised topic models like LDA showed a real lack of competitive performance on these tasks. The performance gap is just too wide to justify their continued use as a default.
So what does this all mean for us? Let's synthesize this. We have four key takeaways. Financial transformers are the clear leaders on text-only datasets.
Right, but they struggle severely on multimodal tasks because of that sequence truncation.
And the traditional dictionary models, we now know, are substantially underperforming. And surprisingly, simple word count models can still be competitive on very long documents.
And it all underlines the absolute necessity of evaluating multimodal tasks going forward. Text data in finance and economics is almost never alone. It always has critical numeric metadata with it.
If you fail to use that data, or you truncate the text, you're hobbling your models.
You're rendering modern models almost useless for crucial real-world tasks, like interpreting FOMC reports. This benchmark really highlights where the next generation of model development has to focus.
So what's the next logical step the authors suggest to conquer this multimodal and long sequence problem?
They emphasize the immediate need for more research into multimodal data fusion. And critically, They advocate for including longer sequence transformers in future test models like Longformer or Big Bird, which can handle inputs up to 4,096 tokens.
And that would tell us for sure if the sequence length is the main problem.
It would definitively determine if that's the primary factor. This whole benchmark is designed to be a foundation for years of future research, you know, maybe adding tasks like named entity recognition or expanding to other languages.
Okay, so before we wrap up, leave our listeners with one final provocative thought to chew on.
Okay, I'll leave you with this to mull over. Given that standard financial transformers failed the Green Book test because of document length and poor multimodal fusion, how might generative models, which were excluded from this benchmark because of cost and reproducibility issues, how might they handle this? How would they handle the demand for a long-form context and accurate multimodal fusion when you're trying to extract financial signals in real time? That blend of long readability and numeric intelligence, that is where the future of automated trading and policy prediction truly lies.